Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Hurricane Debby making landfall this morning on Florida's Big Bend near Steinhatchee. It's the second major storm to hit the area in less than a year, says ABC's Jim Ryan.
Recovery is still going on in Cedar Key, Florida, an island community hard hit by Hurricane Idalia last year. Sue Colson was and still is the mayor.
You just keep rehearsing this and hopefully get better and better at responding.
At sunrise today, 160,000 homes and businesses had lost their power to Hurricane Debby.
Could be a stormy day on financial markets after a big sell-off on Friday. Overseas markets were significantly lower. Japan's Nikkei down more than 12%. Vice President Kamala Harris expected to unveil her running mate tomorrow at a Philadelphia rally. She met with several top contenders at her home Sunday. And after weeks of unrest over a quota system for government jobs, Bangladesh's prime minister has stepped down, fleeing the country. This is ABC News.
A second patient now taking part in Elon Musk's brain chip implant. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Elon Musk revealing a second patient has been implanted with Neuralink, an experimental brain-computer interface that allows patients to control technology with their mind. Musk is a co-founder of the startup. Not much is known about the second patient, including when they received the implant, but we do know they suffered a spinal cord injury. Musk says he believes Neuralink will allow all humans, whether they have physical disabilities or not, to more efficiently interface with the digital world and even compete with artificial intelligence.
A 10-year-old mystery of a dead bear found in New York City in 2012 finally solved, with independent candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. releasing a video over the weekend taking responsibility for the carcass, admitting he left it in the park, even staging the scene to look like the bear had been hit by a cyclist. The mixed relay triathlon team this morning securing another medal for the U.S. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin fugitive at large for nearly 30 years is captured in Iowa. George Hartlerode was convicted of rape in rural Chippewa County in 1983. Hartlerode was taken into custody in June in West Des Moines after he was stopped by police for not having a rear reflector on his bicycle. A reminder to operate ATVs and UTVs safely. Here's Lisa Hale.
20 people have died in ATV or UTV crashes so far this year, according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. 95% of fatal crash victims last year weren't wearing a helmet. The DNR urges operators and riders of vehicles to wear safety equipment. They also make clear that those born in or after 1988 must complete an ATV and UTV safety certification course to drive on public ATV and UTV trails.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
All systems go in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers put on a show over the weekend on family night. Jordan Love signing autographs for fans and doing interviews.
Training camp's been good so far. Great practice going against a great defense every day. A lot of great competition, but that receiver room, tight end room, all those playmakers, man, they're looking great. I'm very excited about what we got building and just a lot of those guys, you know, taking that next step and building on what we did last year. So I'm very excited.
The biggest question is still at kicker. Anders Carlson went 8-for-9 after going 3-for-6 earlier in the week. Greg Joseph, 7-for-9 family night. The Packers have signed another kicker, Jonathan Garibay, who's kicked for the Dallas Cowboys and in the UFL. Baseball, the Brewers lose to the Nationals 4-3. Milwaukee has now lost 3 straight series. Today, they travel to Atlanta, where they'll play the Braves tomorrow night.
I love this team, guys, and I'm not going to start criticizing them for making youthful mistakes or for hitting balls hard and not having it be timely hitting.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms with locally heavy rain possible today and tonight. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tonight. High today, 67, 55 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the hilarious and deadpan comedy stylings of Tom Ryan. And Green Bay band Ask Your Mothers, Eric and Adam, will join me to perform in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Looking a lot like Gary Owens from Laugh-In, holding up my hand to my ear here because my headphones just broke. So they're just kind of dangling off the other side over here. So we're going to be going to Brittany Merlot sooner rather than later. Right after I tell you, good morning from Rob in Tigerton, getting some rain showers, 67 degrees. Welcome back to the number one meteorologist on the number one radio show. Well, he's right on half the count. Number one meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm much, much better. Last week was rough for me. Got pretty sick there, but hey, we all get better.
That's what you get for hanging around all those sickies at the EAA.
I figured all those people from all across the world, I caught something, that's for sure. So,
that's really great for Oshkosh tourism. Welcome to our Petri dish from all people from around the world coming in. But
gotta be honest, right?
Heather Martell is going to join us in a bit. Selena Heller is here. Kristen Lyerly, Greg Bach. But let us get to the forecast, where again there's rain spreading into much of central Wisconsin at this point, and it's looking like a wet day for some. Brittany.
Yep, it's a crummy day across the state. It'll be the worst of the week. Temperature wise not bad, only hitting highs in those mid to upper 70s, so quite comfortable, but that mugginess is still lingering, especially further south that you live. Dew points are in the 70s right now into Madison and Milwaukee. Speaking of further south, slight risk for some severe storms this afternoon and evening. What's going to be happening here is we have this front that is slowly dropping through the state, and it's taking its time actually because of Hurricane Debbie is making landfall into Florida right now. So as ours trying to slide south, that hurricane tries to push north, they're very slowly moving. So that means widespread hard rain as we go through this afternoon. In fact, the flood watch is out for Eau Claire, Wausau, all the way down to the Dells, Madison, over to Milwaukee, and up into the Fox Valley as well, because we could see anywhere from 1 to 2 inches of rainfall. And that, of course, is going to create some localized flash flooding. We are going to see that going on throughout the evening and into tomorrow morning as some of those rivers continue to rise as well, because we got a decent amount of rain last week. This on top of it is not going to be helping. So mostly cloudy today into those mid to upper 70s with some heavy rainfall expected, but we dry out for the rest of the week.
All right. And Rob added an addendum here that he was overcome from the heat on Friday, passed out while mowing the lawn.
Oh, no.
And then had to drink a lot of water.
Oh, my goodness, Rob.
You know this, bud. Take care of yourself.
It'll sneak up on you, though. Anyone's happened to me for sure, too.
It will. Hydration is key. And then Brittany sounds so much better now. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Glad you're better. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
All right. You can find out what we're doing on our daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. A lot about sweet corn festivals there, as well as Tammy Baldwin's record for rural Wisconsin. Again, upnorthnewswi.com has all the information that you need every morning. Christina Laurie puts that together for us. Brewers lost to the Washington Nationals 4-3 yesterday. The Nationals jumped out to a 1-0 lead early, and then increased it to 4-0 off of reliever Hobie Milner. Starting pitcher Tobias Myers maybe pulled a little bit too early. The Brewers scored 3 in the 8th. Not quite enough. The Brewers are off today, heading to Atlanta for a 3-game series starting tomorrow evening. After those 3 in Atlanta, they're back for a long homestand starting next Friday. All right, Kristen Lyerly and Selena Heller are here with us because we're going to be joined in just a bit by Heather Martell from Chippewa Falls. We're going to be talking about the threats to IVF and more about women's reproductive health. I neglected to mention, because we are running out of time and for modesty purposes, wasn't sure how much to dwell on the fact that today is National Underwear Day. It turns out that the physician here slash gynecologist says that it's actually a great opportunity to talk about proper underwear with mm-hmm. your patients.
This yes.
These are real conversations that you have.
They are. Mm-hmm. 100%. Just make it breathable, folks. Make okay. it breathable.
I'm trying to. I'm like, we're not talking duct tape here. I hope. I mean, just what I'm trying to think of examples
duct tape
of what's
is not breathable.
Cotton is good.
Okay.
Like some people can tolerate just about anything. I mean, their underwear is made out of lots of different types of fabrics, but mm-hmm. you know, a yoga pant not super breathable. Cotton.
Oh.
Breathable.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay. Good point. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yep.
Kristen was saying during the break she was pining for the good old days of Lasagna Awareness Month, but sadly that has passed. We are now in National Sandwich Month, and we have been stressing the importance of some of those great sandwiches like PB&J and the Cubano and the hot turkey and beef. And so, Kristen, the question comes up with you and your 4 boys. What's the go-to sandwich?
Oh, I love a good sandwich. I don't know. All of them. I like kind of an Italian, you know, I like some banana peppers on it. Abe makes an amazing sandwich, my oldest son. That mm-hmm. kid, every time he comes home, that's the request. Like, we get the ingredients and he throws it together.
Oh, all right. Nice. Selena, what about Emery? What is she always asking for?
Well, in cold lunch, it's the kids these days are peanut butter and jelly.
Okay.
So all of the kids at school.
Lena, do you get fancy? Do you have like a sandwich press or like do you use a cookie cutter?
Oh, we have. Yes, I have sandwich shapes. They're always in shapes or animals.
Of course they are. Oh, my gosh.
And I draw pictures on them every single day.
kids these days will never know the struggle of having to eat crust.
No,
moms
they don't
are saving
crust.
Them from it.
Okay,
but
old man.
There's always a coinciding yep. picture of like what they're learning in school or what's going on. There are like edible markers now. So I am part of a page.
Edible ink, we should say. Maybe not the marker themselves.
Not the whole markers.
Okay,
no.
Okay.
But I mean, there's whole things. So, you know, I have alphabet cutters that I cut out fruit or shapes, or so there's kitty shaped, you know, cantaloupe or strawberries. Oh yes, it's quite involved.
I just want to see how long she would go on this topic. I mean, pretty soon it's going to be 7:30. We'll have to go. We have to rebook Heather. Alicia Saunders writes in voting for the tuna melt. So, oops. Now there we were talking sandwiches for Heather to join us, and now Heather has dropped out again. So we'll be joined by Heather in just a moment here. So Selena, tell us more about the shapes and colors. tell us more about this edible ink.
It's quite elaborate. I take a long time on these lunches. I mean, and my art skills have really expanded. I look up. I always Google how to draw easy cats or how to.
And what are you doing? Pictionary on lunches now?
Yeah, right on
the boy.
Sandwich.
Yeah, there was a feature on local TV this morning about meal prep and like how, you know, how to spend. If you spend a couple of hours on the weekend, you know, prepping, and I'm like, for your kids' lunches, like a sandwich takes like 2 minutes. It's here you go. Here's your meal prep, you know. But now Celine is describing a process that takes upwards of a half hour to draw a picture on a sandwich or something.
It does. So. And then you have to write a note and put stickers or draw a picture on the note. So
a note and stickers.
Oh, you are a way better mom than I am. Oh, I'm like, gosh. Guys, you know where the peanut butter is.
Honestly, I trailed off somewhere around edible ink. Seriously.
Yeah, I know. Heather Martell is with us now, and Heather and Kristen and Selena all know about each other, have met each other. Selena's done stories with Heather, who joins us. Heather, good morning. How are you? Are you hearing us, Heather? No. I don't think Heather is hearing us. Oh, no. Okay. All right. She is, she sends us a text. I am the least tech savvy millennial in the world. All right. Well,
as she said, she had it. I lost it.
Okay. let's see. Do one of you have a fast way to get in touch with her? And then I'll let you do that. And I'll talk to
the
other one.
Just have her call the studio.
Oh yeah. Let's have her do that.
You want me to send her a text?
Yeah. Send her a text with that studio number, which is 855-75-CIVIC. So, Heather, 855-75-CIVIC would be the way to come join us, 752-4842. We'll set up with kind of the more, you know, serious end of the conversation, Kristen, and that is that we spoke with Heather before about the, you know, the catastrophic health conditions that led her to require a late-term abortion, and she'd already been an advocate for proper abortion care. But then you had that Alabama Supreme Court ruling basically trying to take out IVF entirely, and people in Heather's position going, well, now what are we supposed to do?
It is catastrophic for people who are trying to start their families, and especially people who are in Alabama currently going through the process. When this judgment came out, these embryos are in a freezer in Alabama, unable to be relocated because the people who would have to transport them are afraid that they could be damaged during the process of relocating them. And what would the consequences be if that was the case? So these families are wanting to proceed with their IVF treatment, and their embryos are essentially being held hostage as a result of this.
And I wonder, though, and again, you're not an attorney, and we know that we could certainly book one in here. But when I hear about that, I almost wonder if in the earlier days of IVF, and again, this is still relatively new technology. Mm-hmm. But I just wonder if more could have been done at the front end to say, look, these, you know, these fertilized eggs will be kept for so long in case you want a backup, but that there is like a date certain, you know, at which point they will be, you know, destroyed or disposed of, however you want to put it. We're in, it's not so much now a medical area, we're in this legal gray area.
Well, this has been a conversation for people in the infertility community since the beginning of IVF. I mean, remember Octomom?
Yeah.
When they implanted 8 embryos, probably more. It's always been an ethical, I don't want to say dilemma, but an ethical question that anybody who is pursuing this kind of treatment needs to consider. That aspect of it, mm-hmm. because you don't know how many eggs you're going to harvest. You don't know how many embryos you're going to actually create throughout
right.
this process.
Yeah, this is not a drive-through window.
It's
you know?
Not. It's not. And this is just one more reason why people have to have the ability to make their own deeply personal healthcare decisions.
Yes, exactly. Heather Martell is going to join us by phone right after the break here, when we will talk more about her experience in wanting to grow her family using IVF and then watching it become yet another political target from the far right. So that's coming up in just about 90 seconds, wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Monday morning. When you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
At Fleet Farm, we know every opening day doesn't begin and end with us. But if it did, we've got you covered. Everyday hunting gear from Winchester, Remington, and Bear. everyday fishing gear from Daiwa, St. Croix, and Rapala. Everyday yard cleanup from Scott's, Fiskars, and Agri-Fab. Whatever makes your day, we're right there with you. At Fleet Farm, we've got everything you need for everyday life.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now I know, now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio
you're
Network.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
If you've ever wondered whatever became of me, I'm living on the air in Cincinnati.
Lonnie Anderson, 79 years old today, in today's history lesson. Back now on Up North News Radio with Dr. Kristen Lyerly, Selena Heller, Heather Martell joins us on the phone as well. Heather, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, good. How does it feel to be? How did you describe yourself? The least tech savvy person that you know?
The least tech savvy millennial I have ever met.
Well, we are glad you're here now, and thank you for being here. So, as you know, we did talk about your pregnancy story some time back, and frankly, the hell that some people put you through, and so then you've been talking to Selena and others about growing your family through IVF and, thinking that, okay, this is a way to go. And now you're seeing current events, and this has to be some kind of a weird deja vu for you.
A little bit. Yeah. It just seems like no matter what you do as a woman, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I wanted to grow my family, the all-American thought process here, the J.D. Vances of the world, grow your family, don't be cat ladies. I am a cat lady, by the way, also a chicken lady. So we tried to grow our family, and that didn't work out as planned. My son had a diagnosis of Vactrals Association, which is a multi-system diagnosis. His was on the more severe end, where he wouldn't have been able to sustain life had he survived to birth. We had at least 5 of the 7 systems come back positive as being impacted by this condition. The other 2, it kind of got to the point where it's like, when do you stop looking for bad news? Mm-hmm. We already found out that he was going to not make it. Do we want to really pile on here and go for the full 7? We tried it. We got pregnant naturally after being told we couldn't get pregnant, even with artificial reproductive technology. And this is the outcome of that situation. And now we're trying to grow our family through IVF. And what is it? Alabama created embryonic personhood. How asinine is that? My personhood, my very existence shouldn't depend on what is or is not growing in my uterus. If Wisconsin picked up a law like that, I wouldn't have as many rights as my husband and son would if I'm pregnant.
It's crazy that your female embryo has more rights than you do as a mom and a woman in the world.
Yeah. To make matters worse, embryonic personhood, what the hell is that? I mean, embryos can be created without even being implanted. Like, how many eggs get fertilized in the human reproductive tract that don't go on to implant and just come out as a period?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
entirely true. Yeah, and I wanted to mention, Heather, you and I met when we did the Starts With Us program down in Madison, where we brought anti-abortion and pro-choice people together to try to find common ground around this issue. And there was a lot of common ground, but this particular issue was something where we couldn't find common ground. And for me personally, as an OBGYN doctor, I've taken care of patients who have been through similar situations. But when you shared your story, you taught me something. And it was this: you and I had a pretty similar pregnancy situation with regards to the specifics of, I had a loss at 17 weeks. But the difference for the both of us is that I was able to determine what happened next, and you weren't. You were at the mercy of these arbitrary barriers here in Wisconsin, and you didn't get to make the decision that you needed to make for yourself. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So we found out 19 weeks that something was wrong. We got confirmation a little after 20 weeks. Because we had to travel outside of our area to get a level 2 ultrasound. And at that point in Wisconsin history, you couldn't abort post 20 weeks, which is ridiculous. The exception is the life of the mother. And I mean, as you well know, what does that mean? Usually it means like, hey, you're bleeding out, you're going to die like in 2 seconds if we don't act. So that's kind of the jam that we were in is, life of the mother. And specifically in Wisconsin law, mental health does not qualify as life of the mother. So we had to get a referral to Planned Parenthood in the cities, which would have been the cheapest alternative for us. Instead of going to like a hospital and having the procedure done in a hospital setting instead of the clinic setting. And even then it was still about $3,500. And that's cash in hand. That's money up front. I don't know, you know, too many people that can just have that on hand. So then we go to the clinic. We have to cross the border into Minnesota. And at that point, Minnesota had a ban after 23 weeks. So we were 22 weeks and 5 or 6 days during the first day of the procedure. It was a 2-day procedure. So we just barely made that cutoff. Had we not been able to get into that level 2 ultrasound until a week later, we would have had to go to Colorado or New York.
None of which makes sense in one country to have such a checkerboard approach to, you know, women. You have rights in these states, women, you don't have rights. In fact, you have restrictions in these states. In this state, you know, technology might be tracking you. In this state, you and your doctor, you know, might face prosecution. It's a heck of a way to run something as basic as people's bodily autonomy in one single country. Heather Martell is our guest here. Heather, can you stick around for a few more minutes? Or do you have to race off at 7:30?
Well, I have a brand new car that has hands-free, so worst case scenario, I just jump in and put you on hands-free.
Well, we'll maybe ask you one or two questions on the other side of the break here, and then Selena Heller will talk to us about the Jackson County Fair. We're going to be talking about that in our next half hour. We are going to be talking to Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director, as well. Kristen Lyerly, thank you so much for being part of the questioning here with Heather, and we'll be talking to you next Monday, I'm sure. Safe travels out there on the campaign trail.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. Back with Selena, back with Heather Martell in just a couple of moments here on Up North Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network. Up and down the dial. Maybe you-
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Monday. Tomorrow morning at the Wisconsin State Fair is the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Breakfast. In just a moment, we'll talk with one of the award recipients.
You're invited to Close Farms and Country Fest in Chippewa County for this year's Farm Technology Days, growing to the tune of success. This year's event features the chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative techniques, and taking a glimpse into the future of agriculture. There's also food trucks, music, and of course, field demos of all kinds. Mark your calendars for August 13th through the 15th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information and show details, visit wifarmtechdays.org.
Here at the Midwest Farm Report, we're celebrating the families that have farmed the same land for more than 100 or 150 years. Matt Tukarski's family in Jefferson County is getting their centennial award from the state of Wisconsin tomorrow morning. He says they take great pride in a family heirloom that's been passed on from his grandparents.
Well, we still have the first tractor that my grandparents purchased, actually a week after they had gotten married, and that was the first tractor on the farm that took over for horses. It's an Oliver 60, and back in the day, that was a big tractor for them, you know, kind of the next step in farming back then. So we still have that. It's restored, and I try to get it out a couple times a year to get the dust off of it, but that would definitely be something we cherish every day that we have. We usually try to make it to our local fireman's picnic. We'll take it down there for the tractor show.
Matt Tukarski from Jefferson County is one of the many Centennial Award recipients that will be celebrated tomorrow morning at the Wisconsin State Fair. You can find more stories like this at MidwestFarmReport.com.
What makes Dairyland Seed silage unique? Better. Designed specifically to maximize tonnage potential in the upper Midwest, Dairyland Seed silage products contain higher starch content and the highest level of fiber digestibility for optimized milk production. And to help get even more milk in the tank, these elite genetics are supported by your dedicated local dealer and direct access to a team of leading agronomists and silage experts. Better silage, better support, better results. That's the Dairyland Seed difference. Meet our 2025 lineup at DairylandSeedSilage.com.
Mark your calendars for August 10th. Governor Tony Evers has declared it Cream Puff Day across the state to honor the 100th anniversary of the original Cream Puff. You can find these Cream Puffs this week at the Wisconsin State Fair, including limited edition anniversary flavors. In other news, the opportunity to break bread with a cabinet secretary is a rare one, but four Wisconsin soybean representatives were able to share a breakfast with U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. During the meeting, they talked about ag-related infrastructure issues, including making improvements to roads and bridges and the Mississippi River. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms with locally heavy rain possible today and tonight. We're talking 1 to 2 inches or more of rain by the time everything winds down late tonight. High today, 67, 55 tonight. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 76. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 63.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin CHARES Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for child care by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the news of the weekend. Has Kamala Harris picked her VP, or is it still to come? Find out Monday.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
it's time for America's favorite dance party, American Bandstand. The star of our show, Dick Clark.
It was on this date in 1957 that American Bandstand went from a local Philadelphia show to a national show, eventually emulating from Hollywood. Dick Clark would host it for 30 years, from 1957 to 1987. It's Monday morning, August 5th, 2024, back with Heather Martell and Selena Heller in just a moment. First, a quick reminder, the August 13th primary election, which includes a statewide constitutional referendum, is a week from tomorrow, August 13th. Find out more about what's on your ballot and where you can vote and how to register and more at myvote.wi.gov. If you don't think you can make it for Election Day next Tuesday, absentee in-person balloting is available at your local clerk's office. Where do you find out who your local clerk is? Same place, myvote.wi.gov, for that primary election next Tuesday. Heather Martell is on the phone. If you missed it before the break, we've talked about her need for abortion care because of a tragic pregnancy sometime back. She's now looking to grow her family through IVF. But, of course, now that's under fire from certain people in politics. Selena Heller has a story with Heather Martell that you find on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, Selena. So I thought, with your story in mind, I'd turn it over to you so we could get in another question or two from Heather before we wrap things up, Selena.
Sure. Heather has quite the story. If you read that on our website, it's she's had a lot of challenges in her story, but now one of them moving forward is that she's kind of mistrustful of reproductive rights and having them. So Heather, if you want to talk about now your next step, and you're traveling out of state now to get some different reproductive care and why you're doing that. You're heading to Colorado, just kind of on a when you have to go kind of a thing. Tell us about that.
Right. So I am heading to Colorado with my husband. We're doing all of our monitoring here in our home state. But Colorado offers long-term guarantees when it comes to reproductive health and rights for reproductive health. Wisconsin has no constitutional amendment, no constitutional law that guarantees reproductive rights for women.
And so as a result, basically, when your doctor says it's time to go out to Colorado, you have to go out the day before ovulation, do an injection, egg retrieval, and transfer, essentially spur of the moment. This is all that you have to go through to grow your family.
Not to mention the thousands of dollars and the money for the travel, the time off of work, the daily medications and injections just to get ovulation timing down. It's not easy.
So when you hear that people are targeting IVF, because of the embryos that may be discarded, I mean, weigh that against whatever kind of pro-life stance gets in the way of you bringing life into the world and into your family. I mean, how does anybody square that circle?
Well, I honestly hate bringing theology into talks about politics. And that's what this whole argument is about, whose religion is right, whose religion is wrong. Personally, do I believe that life begins at fertilization? Yes and no. Does it matter that I believe that? Not at all. Because my belief shouldn't dictate someone else's medical choices, just like their belief shouldn't dictate mine. This moronic law about embryonic personhood, and I mean, even going as far as fetal personhood, what I'm seeing right now is a lot of arguments. Well, Dobbs didn't end rights for women, it gave those rights back to the state. Well, sure, in the same way that Dred Scott didn't not the best decision that we've ever made. Essentially, what the Supreme Court did in Dobbs is, give that right for states to say, hey, embryos are people too, but then go a step further and say, and anyone from our state must live by that law, even if they go out of state.
Yeah. Again, it just continues the inconsistent approach for women across the country, and that's why Heather Martell is talking to us while making another trip to try to grow her family. Heather, we appreciate you checking in with us again. Please, safe travels. We wish you all the success in the world, and hope that we get a really happy chapter to talk about the next time we visit. Thank you again, Heather.
Have a good Monday.
Yep, you as well. Take care. Safe travels now. Again, Heather Martell there. And Selena has that story on our website. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to learn more. But that's not the only story that Selena Heller is working on. There is also, for folks watching on social media, can see on her T-shirt that she has been to the Jackson County Fair. Not just been there. She's not just an attendee. She's a worker bee. What is it? Ticket seller? Were you doing mostly?
Well, so my mom always used to work in the office, so I started doing that with her probably when I was 15. So every year since, that's been my thing. I've been there just to kind of keep that tradition up with her, and then so I've held on to that, and I love the Jackson County Fair and seeing everybody back at home, and I just see all the familiar faces go through. But yes, we take in thousands of dollars on the weekend of the fair with the demolition derby, so of course we'll talk about that.
Well, yeah, I mean you can't without talking about the combines and all smashing into each other. And we've again, you can find that story on our website. We've done videos on it in the past, these combines, racing at each other at the breakneck speed of 18 miles an hour and smashing into each other. But you've got a gentleman here kind of talking. When you hear him talk about this, I mean, it's like listening to a kid playing with their Tonka toys.
That is. And so, it's just, so I go down in the pit area and, I'm in there for a little while. And of course, last year I was down there, and my brothers, I grew up with the demolition derby because I have two older brothers, and they're a lot older than me. So I was in, high school. So my friends would come over and we would paint on the cars, and that was our, fun thing. So I knew the ins and outs of what they had to do to get ready for the demo. And now we get these big combines involved, and it's just quite the spectacle. So then I go down in the pits and talk to these guys, and it's just, these, a lot of farmers, just old time farmers and their nephews or sons or people in the kind of farming related businesses, shops and welders and all of this stuff. And they're all friends. They know each other. They're from the county. And it's just so funny. They're like, yeah, we hit each other and it's just a lot of fun and we don't care. And this is like, I love to see this because this is like my dad, like old school farmer. My dad always, he's on the tractor in his button up shirt, and it's just, and that's what, and he's got the watch with the big tan line. If you take off.
Of course. The watch, yes. The farmer tan. Okay. So who is Mark that we're going to hear from?
So Mark is a 65-year-old farmer, and he said, and I think both of them that I talked to last year, Bill McNulty, they were combining really in their fields on Saturday, didn't have time. I think Mark said this, he didn't really have time to get his combine ready, the smashing combine. So when he went to start it, because it was just been sitting, it didn't start. So he had to get a different one and then bring him to the fair. So they combined Saturday and then smashed up on Sunday. So, a couple 65-year-old guys I talked to, and this is so fun. So this is Mark Emerson. He's been doing this for a long time, 15 years. We kind of started way back then.
All right, here's Mark.
Well, we just take old combines that we find, we weld the heads on, a few things, and then all of a sudden we just go out there and smash them, and see the last one moving is the winner. That's kind of where it goes. We hear a lot of crunching and banging, and we have a lot of fun at it.
Well, they do, and clearly, as he says in this next cut here, you're thinking, I mean, how much money is involved in this? And you know, Mark explains it's not that much.
Yeah, they're just old combines that are not usable.
Yeah, we find combines that are sitting in the field, you know, somewhere in the weeds or whatever. Some people have quit using and stuff, and we get them going again and find different heads to put back on them. But there's a lot of them we can buy them for pretty cheap, and then after you beat them up and wreck them, you can still sell the motor out for a pulling tractor or a farm tractor or whatever too, so you can kind of get your money back out of it. So we really don't have no money in these things. That's what's fun too. We don't spend a whole lot of time, and we don't spend any money on them, and we go out and have fun.
He uses the word fun a lot. You can tell this is their thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they work hard. Yeah. And then to just have a little fun one day and hit each other and hit your buddies in a combine.
Do you know what I think the equivalent might be? Because you just said they're combining in the field one day and they're smashing up old ones the next. Uh-huh. Imagine the relief a lot of office workers would get if, you know, they're doing everything, working hard on their work computer 9 to 5, but then they could take a baseball bat to an old computer. You know, because they can't do it with their work one, but they can just take out their frustrations. Now, this is the big revenue raiser for the Jackson County Fair.
Oh, yes, it's huge. So the Sundays of the fair, I mean, it's just such an influx of people. The grandstand is packed. I often have to be like, we need more bleachers because it's just standing room only. And it was yesterday, I think we had so many vehicles yesterday. There were minivans, trucks, I think like 15 combines, and the grandstand was packed, and it went for 5 hours.
5 hours. Wow. So tell us about little Layla we're going to hear from next.
So now the new thing after combines is kids getting involved, and there are power wheel demolition derbies. So it's a lot of these parents that have cars and that have also kind of grown up doing this and now have their older kids do it. Well, they're starting younger kids too. So they paint up their
like their big wheels.
They're little motorized little battery operated cars, like Barbie cars or mini cars or whatever.
They're smashing up old Barbie cars.
Yes. So little Layla was in her little mini car, and it was just pink, and they wear these, you know, of course they're cute helmets with the, you know, like just, and it's so funny that, and they're out there just that they have a little their own demolition derby. And
well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm seeing the picture of little Layla here. She's got a little bicycle helmet, looks like, and she's in this little pink Barbie car, and now you're telling me they smash them up.
They smash them up, and I was watching Layla because she was just, it was mostly boys, there were some girls, but she was just out there, and I was kind of watching her. She didn't care. She was smashing her little, it was Minnie Mouse, a little pink Minnie Mouse.
Oh, part. Minnie Mouse, I'm sorry, and I stand corrected.
The headlights coming off and cracks in and scratches down the side.
I'm not sure how I feel about this. Let's listen to Layla. She clearly is loving this.
I like to crash with my brothers and even with me and my dad and my mom.
I like to crash, she says.
I like to crash. Her name, she said, Yayla. Yayla.
Tony puts on Facebook, Mad Max Thunderdome, kids version.
It was so funny.
Oh, God. He notes, of course, you know, these farmers sitting on their combines all day, just lazy farmers, you know, I'm sure is what some politicians might say about them. This is too much. I thought last year learning about the combine demolition derby was a big deal. And now kids and their Minnie Mouse cars. Mm-hmm. Where does it end? I tell you. All right. Selena Heller, thank you so much for that special Jackson County Fair update. Can't wait to see what's going to shock me next year.
I'll find it.
No doubt you will. All right. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Selena.
All right. See ya.
All right. When we come back, we have got Terry Bell. He is the news director for Civic Media, and 3 things you need to know to start the week. That's coming up in just a bit. You're up north. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I want to highlight an organization called Museums for All, which makes it possible for folks who get food assistance to get free or reduced admission to more than 1,300 museums across the U.S. I remember the leaner years when my kiddo was little and the cost of going to museums felt, you know, like a real splurge, especially when childcare cost more than my rent at the time. And I loved children's museums because they were like places for my kid to play, she could learn, and I could maybe catch a mom minute, you know, where I could take a breath while my kiddo was occupied. I love the Museums for All program because they make that free or more affordable for lots of families. You can visit their site, museumsforall.org. That's the word museums, the number four, the word all.org, for more details, and you can search their list of participating institutions. For more Everyday Money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Tomorrow on the program, it's Tuesday, so we'll get our update from Sherita Booker on the more popular Up North News social media posts of the past week, and Christina Lurie talks about some of the uplifting stories you can find in the newsletter. Sign up for that newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is here with three things you need to know to get the week started. Terry, how was your weekend? Were you active or in full Olympics couch potato mode?
A little bit of both. I went out of town, visited family back in the Driftless region, which was just fantastic. A couple of family gatherings, watched my nephew play tennis. And then, yeah, I was up at 6 o'clock yesterday morning watching the USA women's indoor volleyball team just barely beat France. It was a sweep. But that was a hard-fought sweep. You know, France gave us nothing. They made the USA work for everything.
There have been some just unbelievable moments, and we've still got several days of it before things wrap up. But let's take a look at some of the headlines coming up for the week and three things you need to know. And, of course, with the change at the top of the Democratic Party ticket, you still have a close race, but the jockeying amongst the polling numbers goes on.
Well, it was the big question everybody had when President Biden dropped out of the race and Kamala Harris took his place was, how will this affect the race? Well, the polling has been trickling in now since then, and what we're getting is a clearer picture. And the answer to that question is yes, it does seem to have changed the race. You had President Biden behind in several key states, and now ABC News, teaming up with an outfit I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with, 538, take a composite of a bunch of different polls and find that the race is either tied everywhere or Harris has jumped up to a small lead in several states. The important thing to note may be that Vice President Harris now has a slight edge over Trump in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And according to their numbers, those are the three. If she wins those three states, Vice President Harris, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, she wins. So that's important to keep an eye on, especially as she comes to Wisconsin later this week.
Right, which takes us to the second thing you need to know this week, and that is that the presumptive Democratic nominee will be in the Eau Claire area Wednesday, Philadelphia tomorrow for the first public appearance with a running mate we don't know yet. But it's interesting to note that, once again, I mean, this is kind of shades of 1992 when Bill Clinton and Al Gore came to the Peck farm in the Chippewa Valley, underscoring the very close nature battleground status of this state.
Boy, I was there too.
Were you really?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Wow. Covering it for Channel 13 of EAU.
Yeah.
Or was I doing it for Wax? Oh gosh, I don't know. That was a while ago.
It was so many years ago. 32 years ago, but who's counting?
Yeah.
But it just, again, goes to show not just this state, but the west central part of Wisconsin is one of those areas where, I mean, it's a jump ball, so you better show up.
And this is Vice President Harris's first visit to Wisconsin outside of Milwaukee. When she was a surrogate, when she was the running mate, she made, I think, one stop in La Crosse. But the campaign, the big stops have been mainly in the Milwaukee area, the Madison area, a couple up in Green Bay. But you're starting to see the race having whistle stops now in Eau Claire and places like that. I have a sense that will only increase as the weeks and months go on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, to be one of the first visits with the new ticket is quite noteworthy. But I would hazard a guess that it won't be the last one. Again, the ghost of Hillary Clinton's absences continues to haunt the Democratic Party, and they won't be ignoring Wisconsin anytime soon. We travel well outside of Wisconsin's borders now for the third thing you need to know, and that we haven't had reminders recently, but it is still very much hurricane season, as Florida is finding out the hard way from the most recent tropical storm.
Yeah, so here's the latest. Hurricane Debby has made landfall in Florida. It's a Category 1 hurricane. That's not the powerful storm. Debby still is going to leave behind a lot of flood damage because it's moving so slowly. So it's dumping a lot of rain in one place for a long time. Through tomorrow morning, those bands will, as they stick through their predictions, probably won't move out until Thursday. And on the shore flow in Charleston could be devastating because with coastal flooding and you push the water towards the coast with 10 to 20 inches of rain, that is historic levels of flooding.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. That part of the country. I mean, yeah, sometimes you see us hit the coast of the Carolinas, but yeah, so often when it comes up the Florida panhandle and they kind of get, you know, they use the back door to get to the Carolinas, and the rain they dump is just immense on there. So they may not get, like, you know, the hurricane force winds, but these are still very serious storms.
Absolutely. And like I say, if it moves slowly as it is so far, that's just leaving it a lot of time to do a lot of damage in one place before it moves on.
Exactly. So Tony writes from up in Ashland, is Eau Claire where she's going to be on Wednesday? That certainly is the most recent information we have. I haven't seen anything new this morning. And people say, well, what's the venue? The holdup could be one or both things of one trying to determine the right venue, but also there's, I don't want to say a security concern, but I've noticed campaigns stay much more tight-lipped about these things, you know, until closer to the actual time.
We've had instances where we didn't even get opportunities to apply for credentials until late into the night before an appearance. So we've had a lot more lead-up time to get a heads up on this, but yeah, the details are probably going to be announced publicly at the very last minute, and that's a security thing, as well as a number of other logistic things too. I imagine they're scouting out different locations, and they're looking for one that can accommodate a big crowd and to do it safely.
Yeah, I was just scrolling through to see if there was anything new on any of the wires yet about it. Not that I'm seeing here, but again, I think back to the Peck Farm here in Chippewa County where they went, and I think that would be really cool if they were able to find a farm location for that as well. But again, it could be an arena, all TBD, and Terry Bell and the team will keep an eye on that over at Civic Media. Terry, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Have a great day.
You too.
Mr. Bach, will be back from Matinair on Air, I assume, at 10 o'clock.
I will indeed.
Okay. Any good guests or topics we need to know about, or just sparkling conversation with you and Shane?
Sparkling conversation, recapping the news from the weekend, and taking calls and texts from the loyal, wonderful listeners.
Wonderful. Okay, we'll see you for that as well. Thanks to all of you for joining us, as well as our guests, Heather Martell, Kristen Lyerly, and Selena Heller. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow morning, Up North.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the next Devil's Advocates radio show. It's the Kamala Pixar Vice President Edition. We'll introduce you to the candidate Devil's Advocates Radio.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Lake Air is looking for a sports play-by-play announcer. Lake Air will soon be your home for Amory Sports, starting with football this fall. If you love sports and have always dreamed of being part of a broadcast team, this is your chance. Here's an opportunity to make some extra money and enjoy the sports you love. Give us a call at 715-733-0539 or email info@lakeair.radio. Lake Air WLAK, hometown radio refreshed. Civic Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.